everybody. My name is Misa.
And my name is Mia.
Also known as Eminem, and you're listening to your number one choice of inspiration for this generation. You already know it's Eminem Live Radio. Listen, we help Christian millennials navigate life by pointing them to Jesus. That's why we are here. And of course, I can't do the show solo. I need my sister. What's going on, girl?
What's going on, Misa? What's good, everybody? Listen, shout out to everyone that's tuned in to your girls right here, right now. Listen, we got a lot of great things popping off during this week's episode, diving into this book I'm reading that are going to kind of inspire this week's conversation, so don't miss it.
Yeah, shout out to everybody that is supporting us on Patreon, our devoted movement, our community. Listen, if you would like to get involved on how you can continue to support Eminem Live Radio or even get exclusive things, you can hit us up by joining our Patreon family. The link is in the description below.
And listen, man, you do not want to miss the... Listen, we got a lot of things going on. We got an event. We got a conversation underway. And listen, you're in the right place. So listen, keep it locked right here and don't go anywhere. You're listening to... You already know.
It's Eminem Live Radio.
Just hear the sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and the friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Oh, come on, let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for us, stay right together with you.
There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending to a perfect day.
We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop. At the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop, 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 pop. Oh. There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy. When they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie, it'll nearly be like a picture gift by Carrie Ann and I.
All these wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. With you, it's a lovely day for a ride in a sleigh with you. With you, with you.
What's up, y'all? You're back with your girls, Misa and Mia from You Already Know. It's Eminem Live Radio. And listen, life be lifin'. Sometimes you have good days. Sometimes you have bad days. And it always gives you a reason to complain. But this is your reminder right here, right now. Don't be salty. Let's get it.
Yo, the world's always turning. Good news, bad news, and somebody's mad every time. But here at Eminem Live Radio, we keep it real and we keep it moving. So before you pop off, take a breath and remember, don't be salty. Let's go.
All right, Mia, it's a brand new week. What's got you salty?
Let me tell you why I'm salty, dog. We gonna do this in real time, too. Let me tell you why I'm salty. I was at Tanger This is before Queen Bee. So this is a double salt, double sodium, double homicide. Listen, I was at Tanger. And Misa knows this. One of my biggest things that I desire when I go to the mall is that you greet me when I go in.
Yes.
Bro, I'm gonna try not to say anything crazy. I went into 7 stores, dog. Did nobody say nothing to me? I wish I was being dramatic. I'm not. So I went in about 7 stores. Did nobody say nothing to me? And I'm not gonna lie, you know, I'm kind of feeling away. Cause I'm like, Floyd, you don't see me? Cause you know what I'm, and also I'm in the middle of the workday. It's not packed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I walk in Adidas and I was like, somebody better say something to me. Mm-hmm. I walk in, first look at the cashier. Because if I'm looking at him to say something, he's sitting there on his phone. And I'm looking at him as I'm walking in. He still don't say nothing. Don't look up. And mind you, the chime lets you know someone's walking in, right?
Right.
2 seconds later, a woman walks in. He says, welcome in, ma'am. But if I swung, I was in the wrong. I don't know what has happened to the shopping experience. I know things are different since COVID. But a hello, how you doing? Welcome in. Can I help you? What's your name? How's your day? Would be nice. So now that's what's got me salty.
Okay.
I was salty.
That's a valid reason to be salty, Mia. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm at Stockbridge Community Church. That's where I work. That's where I serve. And my position is
first impressions
coordinator. And what we do at the church, I tell every one of my volunteers that I love and so much, they do so well, is that we never want for any person to walk through our doors and not be greeted.
I wasn't impressed.
Not be spoken to.
I was pressed.
They usually say, like for real, Mia, they usually say that within the first 7 seconds of a person entering in your building, they've already made the decision whether they're going to return or not. That first impression makes a difference. So don't get me wrong. Like, customer service has made its way to an all-time low, especially after COVID and everybody has been so behind screens and It's really insane. I hate that happened to you. I don't even work at these stores, and I am sorry that happened to you. I think what you need to do is to not be salty, because I feel like in that last case scenario, when you were at Adidas, you walked in, yes, you were not greeted. Very unfortunate. However, maybe your presence was a reminder to that young man that, hey, let me be the last one that was not greeted when I walked into this establishment. Hence, I like that word. Y'all like that word, hence. So hence, that made him turn and look the next time when the lady behind you walked in, and it prompted him to say, how you doing, ma'am? Welcome in.
Why gotta be the sacrificial lamb?
I don't know, Mia. I hate that it had to be that way. Because, I mean, like I said, Mia, in the past, when we would walk in together and we would shop and nobody would greet us, we greet each other.
I was my fan. You weren't with me for me to be like, welcome in, Misa. Thank you. Welcome. I was like, man, I got to do this by myself.
Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Nobody should ever feel invisible. Nobody should ever feel that way.
So what's got you salty this week?
So this past week was my husband's 31st birthday. Woo-hoo! Happy birthday.
Shout out to our engineer, Kimo.
My husband, Kimo Jones, right? So it was his birthday, and we were singing happy birthday, and it was funny because after we sang our version of happy birthday, we do this for all of our family members that have birthdays, make it a real big deal, and at the end of it, some of the people that were there said, happy birthday, unk. Happy birthday, uncle. You big unk now. And so in that moment, I started thinking to myself, because I am his wife. And my auntie?
Misa, I said that.
You called him unk?
I was saying it to be funny.
But you're not the only one. There's been other people who have been like, no, what's going on, unk?
I have seen unk. I feel like unk, I don't know, for me personally, I think that And it's usually Gen Z, really. I think they just have a misconstrued timeline of what unk is.
I just, listen.
To me, I personally don't, I don't really consider Kimo unk.
My thing is, like, there are people at our church, the young, like the teenagers.
That's what I'm saying.
That call him unk. So I was thinking in that moment, because it, I thought about it when you said it, and we're singing happy birthday. I was like, am I auntie? So I personally saw, I feel like I offended myself. Because I'm like, I think I'm auntie. But the thing is, I feel like we just need to define the characteristics and traits of unk and auntie and big bro and OG. And because, I mean, I'm like, I don't even have nieces and nephews for real, like myself, to be called auntie. But there's nothing wrong with the auntie. Shout out to all the aunties that support Eminem Live Radio. I like, you are an actual auntie. You know what I'm saying? But you're too young to be considered auntie, even though you are auntie.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a little salty because I'm like, I feel like the aunties that I remember growing up are different from the aunties that they're describing now.
Yeah. I think, okay, so I said don't be salty because I feel like it's all perception. And it's really, to me, it kind of boggles my mind. I thought it was funny just because I saw some of our youth kids from youth when they posted for Kimo for his birthday, they kept saying unk. And I just thought that was so
funny
to me, the fact that they thought that he was considered unk just because he's 31 and they're, what, 12?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because in that case, you're a fetus. You know what I'm saying? In that case. But I wouldn't say don't be salty about it, only because I think it's all perception. And one, of course, Kimo to me, period, he's not unk. And you definitely for sure not auntie. You know? So I say don't be salty about
Don't be salty. Y'all let us know in the comments. What determines a person?
Now, if there's benefits, like you get like a discount on like your food or something like that. Like the auntie.
Mia, they're calling me auntie. I'm not a member of our armed services and forces.
Well, you know, you never know. I just wasn't, you know.
I'm then not a retired
say,
military vet.
I would say claim it, you know.
Have you ever heard of anybody getting discounts for being
like,
an uncle?
Like, well, no, like, you know, like the senior, you know, 55 plus thing.
All right, let's just
I'm not saying that you're a senior. I'm just saying how you know how they do things like that for, you know, people who are in the school systems, people who worked in first responders, people who are in
I don't know where she's going.
And
with
veterans,
it.
Yes, because they usually get certain, you know, you never know.
Well, I'll just make sure that I start applying for AARP if that's what we have come to. Thank you, Mia, for solidifying the fact that I am auntie in some cases. That's just what you said. Anyway, listen, that was Don't Be Salty. Just remember that when life throws you all types of curveballs, you have the option to complain, but why do that when you can have joy and find the silver lining in the situation? We love y'all so much, man. That was Don't Be Salty.
Yes, sir. That's your girls, Misa and Mia from You Already Know. It's Eminem Live Radio. Shout out to everyone that's tuned in right here, right now. We appreciate you tuning in from all over the world, whether it's your first time tuning in or if you're an OG listener.
That's right.
We see you. And we love that you're tuning in with us right here, right now. Also, shout out to everyone who's a part of our Patreon community, The Movement.
Yeah.
We have an amazing online exclusive community of women who have committed themselves to lead, to allow us to lead them into what it looks like to live a life that's not perfect, but devoted. And they've been able to grow. I think, how many weeks has it been?
It's been 12 weeks.
It's been 12 weeks already. And
yeah,
the growth that we've seen in these women, the way they've been able to connect with each other, create genuine community, because I feel like that's also something that, you know, you can lose. You can either lose in the Christian faith, or it's sometimes hard to find,
mm-hmm,
you know, when it comes in, you know, of course, really anywhere, but specifically even as Christians.
Yeah, if I could, like, share really quick, it's been awesome because this past week we were able to talk to our devoted community in Patreon, The Movement, and we kind of did, like, a little 12-week mark reflection of how their lives has changed since they joined the movement. And one lady in particular said that she was dealing with a lot of self-esteem issues. She was dealing with a very tumultuous divorce, and now she speaks life into herself every day, and she's able to pick herself up and regain that confidence and redefine who she is in Christ, even though she might be going through one of the darkest moments of her life, unfortunately. But she's been able to look within and see God see her. And I think that's so awesome. But it's through the community. When there were moments where she was down, we were able to, like, encourage her, lift her up, share scriptures with her in the group chat, really check in on her and her kids. And it's just been so awesome to see a person go from one point in their life that might seem low to an elevated position. And it's just been so, it's been really a blessing to see that.
It has been, really. And if you are looking for community, if you've ever felt in your walk, if you feel currently in your walk with God that you're not meeting the mark, that you're not doing enough, that he's kind of looking down on you, we want to encourage you to join our community, because we all deal with those feelings. Misa's dealt with them, I've dealt with them, but the biggest thing that we've learned is that it's not about perfection, it's about devotion. Yeah. And we have a community of women who are walking that out day by day, where there's accountability, there's encouragement, there's vulnerability, and you get a chance to have a mentorship and leadership from Misa and I. So if you're looking for that, be sure to click the link in this description and you can be able to join the movement. But listen, man, we're in the holiday season. We're in the last quarter. We're in Q4.
We're in month 12.
We're in month 12, man. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're listening to this and you're like a teenager, or even I'll say early 20s, listen, I feel like the older you get, the faster the years go by.
Yeah, it seems like it was just summer.
This was the quickest
year. It was the quickest year ever. And it's crazy because, I mean, you would think that when you have fun and you're a kid and you have recess and you have these breaks during the school year, that, you know, life is going to go, you know, fast as a child.
Yeah.
But it flies by even faster when you're adult and you have to work and you have meetings and you have commitments and you have obligations. I really cannot believe that we are almost through another year.
Yeah, me neither. And it's, man, I don't know. I have such mixed feelings about it, because it's kind of like, it makes you look at, like, to me, at least I look at time differently now. Well, not just thinking about it, which is always good, thinking about before you get into the new year, you're kind of like, man, like, this year went by quick. So, of course, I definitely have to be more aware about how I use my time, how time just rolls by quickly. Whoever says that life is short, I feel like, I mean, I'm sorry, that life is long, this lying. Life is short, man.
Man.
And you just got to be able to use your time so wisely. So we hope that you guys are enjoying the holiday season and your family getting, hopefully things are, like, winding down for you at work. And it's an exciting time where you're able to, like, have moments of slowness and quality time and fellowship with friends and family, with it being the holidays, of course, celebrating the birth of Jesus with Christmas. That's what it's being all about. But for this week's conversation, I wanted to talk about something that I read recently. I'm in a small group, shout out to my church, Stockbridge Community Church in Stockbridge, Georgia. And we just wrapped our small group season, and I'm in a small group with a group of ladies, and we read a book. And this was our first time actually reading an actual book, and we were reading To Hell with the Hustle by Jefferson Beth. And it was actually, read it from cover to cover, and it was actually a really decent read. I would encourage anyone to read it. The subtitle for the book is Reclaiming Your Life in an Overworked, Overspent, and Overconnected Generation. And it was really interesting just because this book is very countercultural. It shows you how anything that the world says, like hustle and sleep is for suckers and you grind. Should go out and get it and grind and you make sure you go get the, it's everything opposite of that. And it's really insightful, how it's important to say no, how it's important for you to have margin, and how it's important for slowness is encouraged and different things of that nature. So I definitely would encourage someone to read the book. But there was a chapter in the book, I believe it was called The Desert Gift, and the chapter is about obscurity, and it really stood out to me. I was thinking to myself, man, I really would love to talk about this with you, because there's a lot of just perspectives on it that I agree with, and I just thought that there's a way for us to even be devoted even when we're not seen and in the place that may seem isolated and maybe lonely. in a sense where no one's looking at you. You're not in the limelight,
yeah,
but still remaining devoted to whatever you're doing with your job, with your kids, with your small business, with your marriage, with your relationship with God, that you should still be devoted to. And there's just like some couple things I want to read. There, because there are a lot of things. I'm not going to lie. That was my favorite chapter in the entire book. And there are just certain things that like really stood out to me. And this was a couple things I just want to like read to you just to get your take on. And I want to share my take with you as well. There was this part in where it starts to dive into obscurity. It says, the author writes, Jefferson, he writes, "One of the worst and most insidious parts of our overconnected society is we give no margin for Jesus to deal with us in the darkness. We can't hear him in our trauma or problems or hurt or pain because we let everyone speak into it first. We blog about it. We share it on Facebook." And another page, it says, "What if your predisposition isn't to share things online? What if it's to be more private and personal?" And he was saying how true obscurity is walking through wastelands that are dry, quiet, not applauded, and isolating with Jesus. And I thought that was so interesting, and I agreed with it only because I feel like sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there are a lot of times where I'll see videos and things like that on really Instagram and TikTok, and it will seem really personal. And believers, some believers will, you know, do the whole setting up the camera and they're crying.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know about anybody. I promise you, hear me. I say this, and I don't mean this in a harsh way or as a shot. It kind of gives me the ick. I'm not going to lie to you. It just feels so performative. And even sometimes, you know, some people will be saying, like, "I don't know news to hear this, but you," and it's like, no one really needed to hear it. You really just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, and I'm not saying I'm not saying everybody is like this. I'm not. I'm just saying that I do think that sometimes that us sharing things, I've had to even check myself sometimes. It can be performative. And sometimes we strive so hard to be seen. Let me show you my intercession. Let me show you my devo time with God. And sometimes I'm kind of like, well, if that's supposed to be so private, do we really need to see that? Yeah, you crying and like, you know, because this tragic thing happened, you're like, do we need to see that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, it's just sometimes I think that we allow some, I'm trying to find the right way to word this, because I want to be sensitive to the fact that there are some people who want to get testimony out of it, but there are some people who I feel like who just try to capture moments and will try to post things on socials for, and this is another thing that, of course, we'll dive into later, for people who we don't really know. You know what I'm saying? How we will feel like we're so connected in by likes and comments and shares and that people know you when we have to remember that this is social media and we don't. So you sharing this very personal, maybe too intimate, oversharing slightly moment with us, would you call us your fit? But we don't really know each other. You know what I'm saying? So that was something that really stood out to me. Do you feel like sometimes how do you feel about the thought of maybe like oversharing when it comes to believers and socials, or maybe even to people just in general?
I feel like some people, believers, who happen to be content creators or just wish to share something online, a lot of times I feel like it's a heart issue. It's a heart thing. It's a heart posture, heart condition, spiritually, when it comes to oversharing. Because I see the intention behind people who have this devoted life that want to show that, hey, I'm doing this and I want for this post to serve as an example, as a way of encouragement or inspiring you, the viewer who's watching it and digesting this content. I want for you to be able to see what it looks like. Because there are people who are like, what does it look like to be devoted? Or what does it look like to be single and a Christian at the same time? Or what does it look like to be a be a young man who has an issue with pornography, mm-hmm. but really fight your flesh? Like, what does that look like? And they prop up the camera and they show you kind of like a day in the life, or they show you a moment where they are pretty vulnerable. I think that it's a thin line. It's a very thin line between oversharing and just sharing your faith in that way. Mm-hmm. Because I do think that it's cringe when people set up their camera and they're in full blown worship and start like crying and they're on their face and stuff. It kind of like rubs me the wrong way just a little bit. But then there's moments where I'm like, wow, it's really good to see a person that's on fire for God. Mm-hmm. There's so much negativity out here. There's so much other things. Like, there are BBLs out here that are being celebrated, and surgeries and lip fillers, and people who say that they love getting plastic surgery on their body. It's so much darkness that's being fed to us and fed to the children and fed to just people in general, and sending the wrong message, that it kind of does feel good to see someone share the same belief that you do and show what it looks like for them to live a devoted life. Mm-hmm. So it's, when it comes to oversharing, I just hope that people can stop, take a moment before they post, and say, what message am I trying to send to people right now?
Because I think for me, like, I heard a guy say on Instagram, where he said, sometimes everything that you get from your one-on-one time with God, your devotional time with God, doesn't always need to be a post on your story. Like, what if that was just for you?
You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? And I'm not sure how you feel about this, so I'm going to bring it up to you. So I kind of felt that way about Forrest Frank.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to say that too.
I felt that way about Forrest Frank. If you recall, he, right before the Dove Awards, the day before the Dove Awards, he made mention as to why he had made the decision to not attend the Doves in 2025, and how God convicted him, and how he was talking about how there are, you know, I'm not here to get an award. You know, these are golden statues and stuff, and I'm doing this for the Lord, and I don't want to stand on the stage. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and we were kind of confused by it. And I'm like, it's an award show that celebrates God. It's like one of the only ones, or one of the few that do. And I kind of feel like you're condemning them in a way, when they have serviced and supported so many artists and so many creatives in the space, mm-hmm. like yourself. So to kind of like paint them to be these people, I feel like isn't right. And because he felt like he needed to share, and that was a conviction that God had personally given him, and the way that the message that he shared kind of like moved social media and kind of made people in a way become a little bit combative with one another and slightly divisive, I did feel like, even though he was sharing a conviction that God had given him personally in his spirit, it was a way of oversharing.
And okay, so I'm gonna say this really quick before we go to the next break. I was going to bring that up exactly. Now, hear me. I don't think, personally to me, I would never do anything like that. Because, I mean, anyone who knows me, Misa Kimo, know I'm naturally a private person anyway. You know what I'm saying? Unless I want to share something, I will. However, sometimes I don't like sharing things in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, like, 2020 was a tough year for me, but I didn't post throughout that year. I waited till, like, I went through it. I was with God. And then after, I wanted to share something, like, just how my year was, because it was hard for everybody, what it meant for me, what I got out of it. Then I shared it. And you have people who are, to me, that's very bold. A certain level of boldness comes with that. People like Forrest, who share transparently in real time. And also, that's how their audience likes them. Like, you know, like they gravitate to their vulnerability, how they bring them in. And I don't think that Forrest did it I don't think there's ever been a scenario where he's overshared. It's just the way people reacted to him.
Yes.
Is what made me feel like, if I was him, I wouldn't tell y'all nothing else.
Yeah.
It's because he seems like a very pure and authentic dude. Mm-hmm. And he genuinely just wanted to just share his heart. And people, like I said prior, who don't know him.
Yeah.
Were like, people who are making these videos, turning up their nose at him, making it seem as if he meant something maliciously. There were also people who even believed differently from him, but said it with love in comments. But people who really made it feel like he was really trying to be self-gratifying and things like that. And it's like, it wasn't like that. So then people are now sharing their opinion on a person that they don't know, on their opinion, making judgments about him that they made up in their mind mm-hmm. from a small clip. And it's just like, we have to be so now conscious of the things that we even transparently share online as believers. Because we try to share our testimonies and things like that, but it's like, now we got to figure out what the line is, because will we, the idea of opening yourself up to, of course, yeah, your fellow believers,
yeah,
but also strangers.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like trying to figure that out is a balance. But I just feel like sometimes for me, my personal opinion, is that I feel like there's nothing wrong with keeping some things to yourself.
Ooh, Mia.
Because only because, like, in the book, there's a part where he says, why are we fighting so hard to be known by people? We're known by God. Why are we fighting so hard to be seen and get likes and for this thing that we are seen by the Most High? What are we fighting so hard for? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we feel like we need to share everything? Why do we feel like we need to connect on everything? Opposed to, what is wrong with your neighbor who was next to you? What is wrong with your small group leader? What is wrong with people who are in a small group? Your sister, your friend, this, that, and the third. So I wanted to share that. Let me know you guys' thoughts. Listen, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Let us know your thoughts on this conversation. We'll be right back here on You Already Know.
It's Eminem Live Radio.
Oh, what a time. The stars are brightly shining. It was a night of our dear Savior's birth.
Thank you.
Welcome back to your number one source of inspiration for this generation. You already know it's Eminem Live Radio. We are back with yet another great conversation. Mia, you talked right before we went to break about Christians, believers, oversharing. And you mentioned something that I kind of want to touch on before we continue.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there should be, just for believers, because you know how sometimes we can be, but I want to know, if is there a spectrum of where it's safe to share and when it gets to the point of oversharing? Because I remember, like, growing up, there were times where, like, in, like, old Baptist churches, old country churches and stuff, they would have those times where it's like, does anybody got a testimony?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, Sister Sherbert go up there and she's like, I just want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. And then she starts talking about how, you know, she was in seventh grade and she was dealing drugs to the kindergartners. And then she grew up and turned her life around. But then she started falling into this trap where she found this one man who was 67 years old and found out that she was married to him. Like, you know, it, like, it gets to a point where it's like, oh my goodness. Like, yes, God is good. And that's so great that you're sharing the goodness of God and how he's brought you from a mighty long way. But I don't think we needed to hear all those intricate details and stuff. Where, how do we, is there anything that we can follow or anything that you would suggest that we should follow, that Christians should follow, that stays you right in the space where you need to be when it comes to sharing with people or sharing anything about yourself when it comes to talking about God?
Yes. So I think in a I think there's a difference. I don't think you can overshare a testimony, because I think when with a testimony, you've been brought through something and you've healed from it, you've dealt with it, you've moved on from said situation, and now you can talk about it in a sense from, that's what I used to be, and that's, and now I give God the glory for it. I don't think you can overshare that.
You don't think so, Mia?
No, I don't. I actually don't think so. I was going to say, I think when people are in it, in the thick of it, and they haven't healed, they haven't gone to the Lord with their emotions, you haven't gone to therapy, you have, you know, and or whatever said thing on the spectrum, and you're in the midst of it and you don't even, can't even wrap the right emotions around it, the right words around it, and you just start spewing out at the mouth, opposed to getting with the Lord, getting with community, getting in isolation, getting in obscurity, dealing with those things and healing from it.
Yeah.
And then maybe some time pass, and there's nothing wrong with that, for you to be able to heal whatever time that is, whatever timeline that is, and then you feel led to
know.
Share that.
I mean, I don't know. I think there is a such thing as oversharing when it comes to your testimony, only because, only in the case of fine details. Now, don't get me wrong.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
There, like, you have to consider the content of whatever your testimony is. Now, don't get me wrong. I've heard some miraculous, crazy, amazing, ground-shaking testimonies about how God has brought somebody out of a very dark, very life-compromising, morally compromising situations, like the use of drugs and different things of that nature. I'm not saying to not share that. All I'm saying is that use an umbrella and a blanket of certain descriptive details to share it without incriminating anybody, number one, making you or anybody adjacent to you, like family members, look bad. But the fine, intricate details about what you did back then, you know, I feel like those are testimonies that I'm not quite sure of people sharing, because it can get a little, it can get awkward. And I don't want to say that it can get awkward Because, I mean, that's what God delivered you from. God delivered you from the trouble and the awkward part and the nasty and the dirty parts of, you know, your past. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe to read the room, because there's been some testimonies that I've heard and I'm just like, I felt like you could have said this testimony in a way that we did not need to hear all those details, Mm-hmm. And maybe it also was a situation where it's like, you can share a testimony, but maybe it's someone that you know is dealing with something very similar, and you're sharing it face to face, not on a platform. Because sometimes those ones on a platform can get a little crazy and taken all the way out of context, especially for people who don't and aren't familiar. Also to those people who haven't been in the faith for a long period of time, it can get misconstrued.
I just even feel like sometimes, I feel like as humans, we don't know, we can't handle an over, what's the word? We as humans cannot handle a massive amount of attention. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like from a whole lot of people. I mean, regardless of what celebrities think and influencers, things of that nature, we can't handle that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like bringing, well, in my case, in my scenario of talking about when you're in a wilderness season, as we know, church culture says, and you,
what does that mean?
Okay, like when you like in the thick of it, like when you, just for example, say, you just lost your job and you are
walking on water.
Walking on water. And you, I've literally seen people, this is how much I got in my bank account, y'all. Okay. I'm going through it right now. I've seen people post, hey, I know y'all know my journey and I only have $2 in my account right now.
So a trying season is what you mean when you say wilderness.
And then, like, yeah, you know, so you're trying things, even like emotionally. You know what I'm saying? People who, and sometimes people like this are fragile emotionally, so they don't. People who like kind of like, you know how people like really spew out their emotions on when they're depressed and very sad and different things like that, and they kind of like spew all of that with like really drawn out posts with, or videos with like really showing their emotions and like of course like, you know, those crying on camera moments where it's not performing a bunch of like the height of their emotions. I wouldn't share those things, because when you get a massive amount of people who, some who do know you, but then most people who don't know your character, the details of everything that you're going through, and God forbid you go viral, and then you got other people who thinking that you are doing it to be performing. It's a lot to take in at once. And we really think, we think social media of this very high thing that's, oh, I'm doing this for, that's a whole nother situation. But when we get this massive response, sometimes it can be very overwhelming. When I don't think that sometimes we realize these things, where we kind of do it for transparency, but it is, I think it's just so misplaced. Mm-hmm. It's a misplaced. You're looking for fullness and wholeness and community in, I hate to say it, but to me, in a wrong place. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with you going to a trusted friend with wise counsel, with a trusted family member, a friend, talking about those things. I think that's way more fulfilling than turning on a screen, your phone, and pressing record and sharing the depths of your soul there. I feel like you're going to leave empty.
You know what? Just me. But I love that you even said that, you know, because I feel like that's a gem right then and there, Mia, because, you know, you talking about how many people you're kind of like sharing with, that could be a moment where you are discipling someone and sharing what God has done in your life. I heard the greatest way to make impact is to go deep and not cast wide. Because when you cast and try to cast your testimony as wide as you can, you're going to lose people. The farther out you go from you, you're going to lose that impact, because those people don't know you. Those people have no idea, and they can draw up their own conclusions of you. They can say, you know, oh, she lying or whatever. But the people that are close to you, you can go deep with them and go into detail and share how God was able to get you through. And even talk about some things that you haven't all the way healed from without being judged, without someone drawing up a speculation or creating a narrative about you, but it's because you have proximity. you have community, you have accountability. You're able to rely on these people and share with them something that is really vulnerable, something that is could be slightly embarrassing, mm-hmm. but they have your best interests at heart. And because they are the iron that's sharpening against you,
yeah.
you're able to walk them through their situation because of your testimony.
Yeah.
I think if that goes out to anybody, I hope that you're able to receive that. When you do share, think about the impact. You know, go deep instead of casting wide.
No, I agree. So this was a part of the book that was a very interesting point of view, and I wanted to get your take on it. So the author, Jefferson, he was saying, and here's what I've had to grapple with this the most. When thinking about our Christian culture, it is the obsession with doing big things for God. What if God doesn't want me to do big things for him? Like, at all? What if he just wants me to talk to him, know him, and live an ordinary life where I love him and I love my neighbors well? On a different page, it says, to be present and faithful to the very day in front of us where we currently are. We want to do something big. God wants us to be someone who is faithful. What if we just stop trying to do extraordinary things for God? What if we put our heads down, we go about our work, and we were faithful in it all? If we did our work with excellence, loved our friends and neighbors and coworkers well, leaned into the Spirit of God every moment of every day, and we were perfectly content to do the same routine of ordinariness every day until we die. What if we were fine with that? What if that type of life was a blessing and not a curse? And I thought that was so countercultural.
Mm.
Only because that's what we hear all the time. I'm going to do big things for the Lord. I want these followers because I need for them to know about Jesus. I don't need to be on the platform because I need for y'all to know about Jesus. Mm. We got to do it big. B-I-G. I remember one time, I think I've said this on the show before, where I was making a vision board. This is great because we're in vision board season. I was making a vision board for Misa and I of the things I wanted for Eminem Live Radio. And y'all, I'm cutting out Misa and I, putting us next to Kim K. I'm cutting out pictures of Misa and I. And
Kardashian!
Putting us next to Will Smith, us on the Ellen DeGeneres show, us at the Met Gala, us on Time Magazine. And I was just like, yeah, God, you say I'm a dream big, we're going to do these things big for you. Yeah, we're going to do it big, Lord. We're going to do it big. We're going to do it big. And then the Holy Spirit sat me down and was like, why do you want these things?
Mm.
And I was like, God, we gonna do it big, God. I need for everyone. I'm gonna go in these places talking about you. Holy Spirit was like, no, you're not. Holy Spirit was like, you wanna be in those places.
Mm.
And I was like, well, I kinda do, Holy Spirit. Mm. I'm not. I mean, but I'm gonna talk about you though. I'm gonna talk about you. And it's like, no, you wanna be here. So you can show your friends can see that you're here. So you can feel accomplished in what you're doing.
Wow.
You don't want to be here to talk about your faith. You think that's what it is. That's what you want to do along the way, but that's not it. And then reading that made me think, I think that God is very, if we never hit another red carpet and your life was you just serving the church, serving your husband, serving your kids, me being a nanny to my nieces, and spending our appointment time with God, being devoted to him every single day, going to church, praying with him, that would be an extraordinary life.
Wow.
But to some believers, that is like this. It's so small.
But I'm not going to lie to you. I still, there's moments where I still have to fight that.
What do you mean?
Like I still, I'm that Christian.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I'm that Christian. It was 1 year, and I want to say it was before Hovey got signed.
Mm-hmm.
And Hovey was still living in Georgia, Brunswick, mm-hmm. Georgia. And we were always hanging out. After every event, we would usually, all of us go out to eat, and we would sit with Hovey. And I remember him saying, you know, like, I remember when I was, like, scrubbing toilets at Publix, and he shared this with us at a Waffle House.
I remember that.
And I remember him saying, and I'm going to butcher it up, but the essence of what he was saying was, he said, I'm just so committed to God. He said, if the Lord took all this away and said, I don't want you to make music, I want for you to consistently serve people by scrubbing their toilets and just love me. I said, Father, I will do whatever you tell me to do, and I will be content with that life. I was like, what? If God take it away, Mia, I'm not gonna lie to you. Can I be honest? Can I be vulnerable with you for a minute? I'd be kicking and screaming like my 2-year-old when I take away a sucker from her right before nap time. I would be so frustrated. Mm. There were moments where I would be like, you know, what do you mean, God, you're gonna take Eminem's radio away from us? What do you mean you're gonna take my voice and my talents and all these great things away from me? I'm giving them to you. But if it's God and he says, no, I want you to do this, I have to be content. Mm. I have to be obedient. But I'm not gonna sit up here and make it seem as if I have not still had struggles with that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because you even mentioned in the book that what if God doesn't want for you to be extraordinary? And that's so counter belief to how you and I were even raised.
No, facts. You know? That's why that stood out to me.
We were raised going to a church, and our children's choir director, mm-hmm. her name was Felicia McCall. She always had just drilled this into us. If the world is going to do whatever they want and whatever they can to glorify the enemy and darkness, oh, you need to be the one standing for God, and you need to give God your all. If you're a drummer for your high school band, mm-hmm. oh, you're going to drum for God, and mm-hmm. you're going to give it 110%. You're going to go above and beyond for God. He gave you those talents, so you're going to give them back to him. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So we always made sure that we were taking all the lessons. We were sharpening our craft so that whatever God has given us that we have gotten better at, we're able to shift that and give it over to him and to increase his kingdom mm-hmm. and to be extraordinary for God. So it's so interesting that this book says that maybe we aren't supposed to do those things.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
You know what I used to think when we used to go to these smaller churches or like these smaller events that had probably like 20 people, 15 people, not the stages that we do now.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are pointless. I truly thought in my mind at the time, growing up, I was like, God is not here. I used to think that, like, for real.
Mm.
I was like, God is not on. God is on the big stages.
God's on the big
stages.
God's
at the arenas. That's the things that he's blessed. He not here. I used to really think that.
Ooh.
And y'all, some of these big stages be corrupt. Wolves in sheep's clothing. People in green rooms.
Talk about it.
Your favorite artists. Mm-hmm. Don't really be who they say they are. And you think, sometimes we be thinking doing it big for God, and we think that he's not in the church with 5 people where they on their face praying every Sunday,
mm.
even on Bible study on Wednesdays.
Mm.
And they're faithful, and they don't have that much money, and they ain't got no big budget. I used to think that God wasn't there when he's probably approves of them than some of these mega churches out here. So we can't think that just because we do these big things for God,
that he's pleased with it.
One, God is already pleased. We're his children. He's already pleased with us. One, and if all we did, Misa, was wake up every morning, but made sure we had our devoted time with God, he would be completely fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, God's going to do extraordinary things in moments in our lives because mm-hmm. he wants us a part of what he's doing. That's the mm-hmm. beautiful part about him, is he wants a part of these things. And the things that you think are ordinary, mundane, boring,
mm-hmm.
like getting up, reading the same chapter,
mm-hmm.
in your devotional,
mm-hmm.
the same book knoweth mm-hmm. thou. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Doing those same things that you think are boring, God is there. too.
I think it's powerful that you even said that because, you know, the Lord tells us that he wants for us to keep his commandment and to love others as you love yourself. And I think that that's kind of that was a picture that he was painting in the book, you know, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, you know, and I think that that's what he was talking about when it comes to being or living an ordinary life is to make sure you do what God tells you to do, be obedient, but to love others. That's what he wants for us to do and be consistent in
those
that.
Those are the commands.
Those
not
are the commands.
You, thou must do big things for me, no?
He not, no.
But those, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love the Lord your God with your heart, your mind, your soul. Like those are the commands given.
Yes.
And those are things that are extraordinary
to
him.
Yes.
Let us know what you guys think. Shout out to this book. If you want to get it, it's called To Hell with the Hustle by Jefferson Beth. It's a pretty good read. And shout out to everyone. Let us know where you stand on the conversation. Let us know all of your thoughts. And we'll be right back right here on You Already Know.
It's Eminem Live Radio.
The mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. There's Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. There's Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright, and we're caroling through the night. Cards are here. My world is filled with cheer. You. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town. They do. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas.
Welcome back to You Already Know. It's Eminem Live Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, as we get ready to close this show, we want to give you an opportunity just to turn your day around one time. Listen, we have 60 minutes of a show, but give us 60 seconds if you don't have 60 minutes so that we can encourage you, motivate you, and give you a little pick-me-up. We call this our one-minute inspiration, and my girl Mia has got you covered this week.
Some time ago, I felt really overwhelmed. Okay, I'll spare you the details, but the bottom line was that I felt frustrated, emotionally exhausted, and a little annoyed. And I went on a walk and thought to myself, I'm going to listen to this, you know, new Sabrina Carpenter album, you know, to get my mind off of it. Now, I have nothing against Sabrina at all, but I couldn't even get to the first song without realizing this. I realized that I went to her album hoping to be comforted from my situation. And I wanted to drown myself in the music and distract myself from expressing these emotions and heartaches I had bottled up. So I turned off the album and I started pouring out my heart to God instead. Just venting, crying, and even saying, I don't know what else to do. I played some worship music after that, and because it fit the vibe, I found myself going into this spontaneous worship. And would you believe that the overwhelm and immense weariness I was feeling just then left me? Now, Mio, how was this moment inspirational, and what does this have to do with me? So in his presence, there is actually freedom for you, and comfort, and hope, and love. So before you run to anything to distract yourself from what you're feeling, I want to submit to you that you become a living song and give your honesty, your heartache, your stress, your discomfort to the Lord, and then worship him to remind your soul who he is. And I promise, for real, y'all, it works, and it's the best thing that you could possibly do.
There you have it, your 1 minute inspiration brought to you by the one and only Mia. Shout out to everyone who's tuned into this week's show. Whether you tune in for the very first time or you don't miss a single show, we are so glad you spent the last hour with the girls.
That's right. Tune in next week because we'll have more conversation and more music and more everything for you right here on M&M Live Radio.
So make sure you are nowhere else but here, same time, same place. But of course, we got to give the credit when it's due. M&M Live Radio is your number one source of inspiration for this generation.
Engineered and co-produced by K.E. to the M.O., Kimo Jones.
Theme song by Glow.
Written and produced by your girls, Misa and Mia.
And M&M Live Radio is an M&M Enterprise production.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's show, but your girls gotta get out of here. Don't forget to be yourself like you mean it.
Always remember that the rain and the storm helps things grow. So if you're walking through a storm right now, don't worry, because you're growing from it.
And remember that God is the only everything you'll ever need.
Yes, that's right. Thanks so much for tuning in to your number one source of inspiration for this generation. You already know it's M&M Live Radio. We'll talk to you soon.